You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman, Gallatin Valley Community Radio. Welcome to Echotones. I'm Joy LaClaire. From Monday, May 27th to Sunday, June 2nd, Bozeman Pride will have their 2024 Bozeman Pride celebration events in downtown Bozeman. We spoke with Bozeman Pride organizer Keldon Joyner on May 1st to ask him about what's planned. Then, there were bomb threats targeting LGBTQ individuals and associated businesses, so we spoke with Keldon Joyner again for an update. Finally, we asked Bozeman Police Department Captain Joe Swanson about the incidents and ongoing investigations. We begin this edition of Echotones with that May 1st interview. Welcome to Echotones, Keldon Joyner. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Joy.
Keldon, let's begin with the way Brian Kahn always began his radio program, Home Ground. Where did you grow up and what did your folks do?
Funny enough, I am actually a fifth generation Montanan. I grew up in the Gallatin Valley. My mom works in the medical industry. Back in the day, she was working for Bridger Orthopedics, and my dad is in realty. I went to Irving Elementary School, Sacagawea Middle School, and Bozeman High School, MSU, and also the cosmetology school.
What did you major in at MSU?
Fine arts in elementary education.
The reason we invited you to Echotones today is because you were the main force behind the Bozeman Pride of 2023. That was the first year that that size of a celebration was held in Bozeman. Would you talk about how that came to be?
I am associated with a group called the Countship of the ISCSM. The Countship is a queer-based nonprofit that's based out of Bozeman, Montana. About 55% of all of their funds go back into the community through contributions to nonprofits and scholarships. They're a really, really great organization. Last January, I was seated as one of the co-executive directors of the Countship, and I went to my board and I said, you know, I want to make this happen.
When you say last January, do you mean January 2023?
Yep, January of 2023. So planning for Bozeman Pride 2023, I went to my board and I said, you know, I want to make this happen. And they all kind of looked at me like I was crazy. And after a little bit deeper discussion and a lot of guidance from other Pride producers throughout the state, we started formulating for Bozeman Pride. And I have a little bit more flexibility in my professional life. And so I was able to take on a pretty large workload towards Bozeman Pride and help push it into fruition.
And could you describe for our listeners what that event was like, what it involved in terms from the point of view of the public, not so much the organizing?
Last year, Bozeman Pride, so we had some incredible what we branded as lead-in events that happened throughout May. Bozeman Pride actually did not happen in June last year. So basically, we had everything from comedy shows, we had educational events, we had ally workshops, we had sexual health panels. We had youth dance parties and just really, really incredible events happening throughout the week. And when we got to what we considered our main festival day, that was on a Saturday, we had what's considered a Pride Stroll. And so we did a kickoff at the Bozeman Public Library with speakers for everyone to listen to, and everyone gathered in the front lawn. From there, we broke into that Pride Stroll, which basically centered through the downtown area. We had partnerships with lots of local businesses, so individuals could go in for specials at the co-op or at Zsa Zsa's jewelry store. We had something called the Resource Fair, where we brought in over 40 different community-based resources that ranged from anything from sexual health to religious-based groups to people there just because they wanted to hand out stickers. We had an all-ages drag show, a story hour. We had a drag brunch, multiple evening drag shows. So it was the programming itself and what we had available for our audience was quite incredible. And for its first year, we as the Countship were very excited about what we had put together. I'm sure as many people know in Bozeman, on that Saturday, May 20th, we did have a group of neo-Nazis that came into the Bozeman area and spread quite a bit of terror and violence through the Bozeman Pride Festival that lasted for about 2 hours. We did prevail, and we were able to kind of push this group out of the area and continue on with our Bozeman Pride right before our all-ages drag show happened. So we were able to push these protesters out and then move forward with a outdoor show for all of our family and kiddos and everything in between.
When you say we were able to push these people out, could you describe a bit more for listeners who maybe are not aware of this?
To get, I guess, into some specifics, this specific group comes in with the intent of escalating tactics. So they use foul language, slurs, everything that you could think of, along with amounts of physical aggression. And so what we found with this group is they push crowds and celebrations to a point where they can deem that the celebrator is escalating. And that, in unfortunate circumstances, we saw multiple people getting maced, hit with shields, kids were cornered against buildings. And we did have the Bozeman police presence in the area, and we've been working very, very diligently with them this year to create a safer environment. But ultimately, we put a number of volunteers up against these protesters that followed them throughout the downtown area. We had eyes and ears on them every time they were in transition. Really, the main point that caused, I think, quite a bit of noise throughout the Bozeman area was in front of our story hour. One of my great fears was making sure that all of the families and kiddos that were attending Bozeman Pride last year that were shacked up inside of the country bookshelf were safe and they didn't have to hear or see what was going on. And so we stood in front of the door to the country bookshelf and blocked the view from these protesters. And myself and a few other volunteers said, you know, these kids shouldn't be hearing these slurs and this swearing on all of this negativity that was being pushed through a megaphone. And so we stood back up against them and we started chanting, "We are here, we are queer." And we eventually drowned this group out over their megaphone and over their entire group. We were able to drown them out and kind of fill the space with positivity. From that point, they realized that there was enough of us and enough voices to be heard that it wasn't going to be worth their while, and we weren't going to let them stop our celebrating for the day.
And that brings up the matter of who was in the stroll. My recollection is that it was a very family-friendly event, and it was not merely members of the LGBTQ community. It was a Bozeman community event. Is that your recollection as well?
I would absolutely agree with that. We saw basically anyone under the rainbow that you could imagine. We had city employees that popped in just to see what was going on. We had people that had absolutely no clue Bozeman Pride was going on, but decided to stay after they saw all of the programming. And I would agree, it was very much a Bozeman community-centered event and not necessarily just the queer community. So I know that there were a lot of individuals that were quite disturbed by the events that happened with these protesters.
And do you have a sense of how many in numbers of this protesting group that were harassing your stroll?
You know, I believe they were at about 35. It wasn't a massive group. I would make sure to make that clear. The group generally comes with large banners, a megaphone, they have shields, pepper spray, and so I would say from a onlooker's perspective, it felt larger than 35.
But approximately that amount. And do you have the sense that they are local to Bozeman or the Gallatin Valley, or are they a group that travels to events? Because we know that such things do exist.
Yeah. And so we've actually been able to keep pretty close eyes and ears on this group and follow specific actions. We've found that The group does travel from state to state and from town to town, specifically targeting Pride celebrations and specifically youth-focused events within those Pride celebrations. What I will tell you, though, is we have seen an increased neo-Nazi presence in the Gallatin Valley, and some of those individuals have been starting to station here now.
Anything else you want our listeners to know about Pride 2023?
I think this, I would say, is more reflection and growth from 23 to 24 is we looked at the events of last year and really, really increased our security forces from a private security, volunteer security, and Bozeman Police Department security, which is almost, it's over tripling what we have in terms of safety precautions put in place for this year's event.
I guess it's just a sign of the times that these sorts of precautions are prudent. Let's now talk about, can we say, expanded
Bozeman Pride
2024. Share with our listeners an overview of what you are planning.
I would love to talk a little bit about the structure leading into this year's Bozeman Pride, as it has brought in some incredible organizations outside of the countship that are playing a pretty significant role this year.
Keldon, say just a bit more about this countship.
The Countship of the ISCSM was founded back in 2018, and it is technically an extension of a larger organization just known as the ISCSM. That stands for the Imperial Sovereign Court of the State of Montana. The Imperial Sovereign Court is part of a larger nonprofit system called the Imperial Court System. And the Imperial Court System has been running since the 1960s in the U.S. It was started by an incredible individual named Jose Saria. They were actually one of the, I believe, the first openly gay political candidate in the U.S. And so this Imperial Court System actually makes up the largest queer nonprofit in the world, spanning through U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And so back in 2018, we had this incredible organization based out of Missoula, Montana. And myself, along with a few other individuals, said, you know, there's a need for queer programming in the Gallatin Valley in this area of Montana. So we got the snowball running and started creating bylaws and putting together the Countship's first board. Back in 2018, we started with $1,000 in funding for our organization. Since then, we've grown to, in 2023, we gave out close to $20,000 in contributions just to other Montana nonprofits. So we've seen some incredible growth in this organization, and a lot of what they do is specific to fundraising through event production. So they are the group that's putting on a large portion of the drag shows happening in the Bozeman, Billings, Red Lodge, Big Sky, Helena, and Butte area. So they are quite an expansive organization, focusing towards the enaction of drag, the education of the LGBTQ community through a safe environment. They focus a lot towards youth production as well, events like Drag Story Hours. We try and do outreach with the high school saga programs. That's a little bit more on the Countship.
If listeners want to find out more, is there a website they can go to?
We do have a website that's up and running. It is countshipiscsm.org. And the Countship is count like numbers, ship like sailing.
And that's .org?
Yep. It's just countshipiscsm.org. There's no of or anything in it.
Let's talk about what's coming up in late May and early June.
Again, just a little bit on some of the changes that we made leading up to all of these incredible things that we have happening in late May and early June this year. In January of 2024, myself and a few other individuals sat down and said, you know, we want to create a more diverse second annual Bozeman Pride. We've found that there's areas in the Bozeman community that the Countship itself maybe isn't the most in tune with, or that there's other organizations that focus towards those areas specifically. And so what we've done is actually moved into a committee. And so the Countship sits as the main organization for Bozeman Pride, taking on a lot of the liability and finances. But we've brought in five other organizations, including Ojai Collective, Bridger Care, Q QSA from MSU, Queer Bozeman, and Pride House, which if there is interest to know more about those specific organizations as well, I'm happy to share. But we do have an incredible Meet Our Committee post that's up on our social medias, kind of detailing out a little bit more about all of the organizations involved in Bozeman Pride.
Might as well say where listeners can go for that.
We are on Facebook and Instagram for Bozeman Pride specific social media, and it's just BZN Pride.
Listeners may have their calendars out. How should they mark them if they want to participate?
So I'll give some broad dates for you, and I'm happy to talk about some of these specific events that we have going on too. Bozeman Pride, we have two lead-in events happening a little early this year. We have something happening on May 17th with the Dharma Center. It's a mindfulness for the LGBTQ community event. Saturday, May 25th, we have Bridger Cares Included event. It's an inclusive sex education for all event. And then we hit the week of May 27th, which is the hard, true start point for Bozeman Pride this year, which will be running then May 27th through June 2nd. So May 27th through May 31st are going to be our lead-in events throughout that week, with June 1st as our main festival day and June 2nd with some closeout events. On the 27th, I'll just run straight through the week. We have a makers market and block party that's happening at Bridger Brewery. That will be our main kickoff event put on by Ojai. A little bit about Bridger Brewery. They have something called Pints for a Cause. And on Mondays, $1 from every pint that's bought is put back into a local nonprofit. And so this year, Bridger Brewery has decided on that 27th, $1 from every pint is going to go towards Bozeman Pride this year. It should be an incredible event, though. We have some local makers and a few makers coming from outside of the Bozeman area that will be stationed within this block party, and it should be an incredible kickoff event. That will be running from 5 to 8 p.m. And later in that evening, we have a queer yoga event that will be happening at Ecamm Yoga. This event is put on by Queer Bozeman. And a little bit for the listeners, these queer yoga events are part of Queer Bozeman's regular scheduling as well. So if you enjoyed it during Bozeman Pride, make sure to keep going to them. I know they really enjoy the support. So those are what we have going on for the 27th. Moving into the 28th, from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m., we have a game night put on by QSA that will be happening at Wild Joe's. This will be a family-friendly event with multiple tabletop games, board games, and card games. I know they are working to have a lot of their games be sort of queer-focused and a little bit on that pride theme.
Most, if not all, of these events are free. And are they all open to the public?
Yes. So anything on here is completely open to the public. If I do have events that have a ticket cost, I will make sure to include that. So yeah, everything that I've mentioned up to this point is completely family friendly, open to the public. Obviously, Bridger Brewery is considered a brewery, so families do with that as you will.
The Maker's Market is in the parking lot, right?
Correct.
So
correct.
Families can be aware of that.
Exactly. Another incredible event happening on that 28th is going to be a partnership event with Bridger Care, Queer Bozeman, and Haven, actually. The event is called Slice of Support and will be running from 5 to 7:30. It is going to be covering a few different topics. That first bit is going to be a specific presentation by Haven. It's going to be LGBTQ plus oriented information and support around domestic violence within the Montana area, as well as nationally speaking. So that first portion talking about domestic violence will be running from 5 to 6 p.m. We'll have a short half an hour break with pizza for everyone. And then from 6:30 to 7:30 will be a ally workshop put on by Bridger Care and Queer Bozeman. This will be held at the Bozeman Public Library in one of their meeting rooms. This will also be free and open to the public. Moving on to Wednesday the 29th, we have an event that's branded as Hump Day. It's a Safer Sex and Me trivia and game night that will be put on an incredible collaboration between Bridger Care AIDS Outreach in the Gallatin County Health Department, and Aerotique. This will be happening at the Lalani Pavilion at Story Mill Park, running from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. This will also be open to the public and a free event to attend.
I just want to acknowledge that Aerotique is an underwriter of community radio, and we very much appreciate their support. But continue.
I am right there with you. Billy and Natasha at Aerotique are absolutely incredible and have been so, so supportive leading up to this year's Pride and throughout last year's. A few more events happening on that 29th. We have something called Queers and Beers, put on by Queer Bozeman. This event will be running from 5:30 to 7:30 at Shine Brewery and will be free to attend. This one will be held within Shine itself, so will not be a family-friendly event, but it will be free to attend for anyone that is of age. And last event happening on that Wednesday, the 29th, is going to be a book club put on by Ojai Collective. That will be held at the Ojai office. It will be free to attend and running from 5:30 to 7:30. Last event happening on the 29th. As you can see, moving through the week, things continue to kind of bulk up from day to day. So that last event happening on the 29th is the Transspace Showcase. This will be held at Last Best Comedy at 8 p.m. This will be a showcase for trans individuals doing an open mic as well as a few keynote comedians that they'll have there. This event is being put on by Last Best Comedy and an individual within the community named Lucky, who is an absolutely incredible comedian. We are very excited to be working with Last Best Comedy again for this year's Bozeman Pride. Moving into Thursday, we have a queer hike that's being put on by GVLT this year. That hike will be on the Pete's Hill area, and we'll have more information coming out here shortly on where that meetup point will be. But that hike will be starting at 5:30, the hike actually starting at 5:45 after a little bit of meetup and some community building and sort of friendship building at the beginning. The plan with that is just to have a casual stroll that's accessible for anyone that wants to get out and get some fresh air with their community. Once that hike is done, they will be meeting at Shine as well for a post-hike meetup. Another incredible partnership that we have on that Thursday the 30th is going to be a Pride Swing class put on by Downbeat Swing and Queer Bozeman. This will be at 7 p.m. held at Blend and will also be a free class to attend. And a little bit on that, Downbeat Swing specifically is focusing towards true swing, not necessarily country swing dancing. Absolutely incredible organization. And this is an event that they put on quite often as well, but a great chance for you to come in and learn a little bit more about the history of swing and learn some moves. Moving into Friday the 31st, we have a fashion show and dance party happening that's branded as Loud. This will be happening at the Baxter Hotel from 7:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. And this basically will be fashion show with queer art, drag, burlesque, and a dance party. And this one will be a ticketed event, and I believe this will be an 18-plus event.
Is this a fundraiser for an organization?
The two organizations producing this specific fashion show are Queer Bozeman and the Countship of the ISCSM. Both of them are nonprofits, and so the money raised at these specific events will go through their breakdowns. And obviously, I can speak on the Countship specifically. Any profits that they're making, 55% of that profit is specifically for contributions to other nonprofits and scholarships for Montana students. The rest of that money goes to making sure that we can continue with regular scheduling and incredible events. I know for Queer Bozeman, they work with a very, very similar structure, and a lot of their work is for fundraising to go back into the community and community programming throughout the year. One more event for you happening on that Friday. So that last one is going to be a Pride Punk show that we're doing a partnership with the Love Darts, which is a local punk band here. This will also be a ticketed event and will also be an all-ages event happening at the Labor Temple. This will be running from 8 to midnight.
The Labor Temple is well known to us as the home of KGVM, so thank you for that.
We absolutely love the Labor Temple, and I've had a lot of opportunities to work with them in the past, and I'm excited to be back for this year. And yes, the drum roll into Saturday the 1st, our big day. So Saturday the 1st, we have programming for over 12 hours happening. So there'll be a lot that I'll be covering through here. That first event is going to be our Pride Stroll kickoff happening on the Bozeman Public Library front lawn. That'll be running from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. It will be free to attend. It is family friendly. We'll have music. We're looking at doing some specials with the surrounding coffee shops. We'll have some motivational speakers and inspirational speakers at that time. And I know that the committee has been putting all of their efforts into making sure these events can be as inclusive as possible. So we plan to have land recognition for our Two-Spirit communities. We'll have an ASL interpreter present. So really trying to hit from every accessibility standpoint and inclusivity standpoint as possible. Moving on that Saturday, we have our Pride-a-Palooza event, which is our resource fair this year. And we'll be running from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the Emerson Lawn. It will also be free to attend. And a little bit on that event is there are going to be close to 50 different groups that are tabling at this event. Very similar to last year, we have groups that are religious associated. We have health organizations. We have therapists. We have physical therapy. We have the local plastic surgery group that's doing a little bit on top surgery and resources for anyone looking at doing a transition. So that will be an incredible event, and I know they'll have some keynote speakers throughout the day as well, doing some educational work. For an example, they will have a specific presentation running for about 90 minutes that day, going over some education on the Two-Spirit community. There will also be live music at Pride-a-Palooza, food trucks. So really an incredible event and really a full event on its own, if you will. Moving back a little bit more into the central downtown area, we will have two block parties running. And that first one is going to be on South Bozeman and will be from the sidewalks of Main Street up to the alleyway. So very similar to last year. This will be an open container event running from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. This specific block party, we are focusing towards more of an 18-plus crowd. And very similar, we'll have some local makers that are present in there, a few resource tables. There'll be flash drag performance happening throughout the day, live bands that are present on the stage, a DJ, food trucks, and very much more the celebration and dance party portion of Bozeman Pride. This event, they are branding as the Q Team, basically a playoff of the A Team. So that will be running from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Moving down Main Street just a little bit, we have the Tracy Block Party on South Tracy, also from the start of Main Street up until that alleyway. This one will be running from 2:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. and will be more of a family-friendly focused block party. We plan to have face painting, hair chalk, there'll be photo booths present, some local makers, and this will also be the location for the family-friendly outdoor drag show this year, which will be running from 4 to 6 p.m. A little bit more on this Saturday, another incredible event in partnership, the Countship, and a little plug for them. The first Saturday of every month, they do a drag story hour happening at Steep Mountain Tea, and we've bulked this event up for this year, and they're calling it Stories of Pride with the Countship. And so from 2 to 3 p.m. will be the drag story hour specific, and so that will be a family-friendly event with young children's books that are being read by drag performers. There'll be coloring supplies and a few other involvement moments for kiddos and moments for them to kind of share about their experiences or how that book made them feel. Also happening at Steep Mountain Tea from 3 to 4 p.m. will be the Stories of Pride. And what that is we're bringing in some pillars of our community, whether they are drag or not, to talk about their experiences as a queer person in Montana and what that looked like for them growing up and how they've been able to grow and how their community feels for them now, and really a chance to share happiness as a queer person to those around. And I think especially with the political hotbed that we've been in. I think it's more important than ever that our community and our youth see successful and happy queer adults sharing those stories. And I think that it's going to be a very empowering moment for our community to hear about.
So just to be clear, at the Steep Mountain Tea House, the family-friendlier one is from 2 to 3, and then the more adult-themed stories are in the second hour from 3 to 4.
Correct. And that event will also be free to attend. So moving on, we've kind of gotten into the evening portion now. With that, obviously, our Tracy Block Party running from 2:30 to 6:30. So we'll kind of move into some of our evening programming. So that first one is going to be the evening drag show, which is branded as Queer Masterpieces, A Night at the Louvre. This will be the Countship's drag production happening in the Eagles Ballroom. Doors are at 7:30 for this event and show at 8 to about 11 or 11:30. This will be a ticketed event as well, with the funds going back into that Countship breakdown so we can continue to give back to the community as well as continue with regular programming. That will be a ticketed event, tickets that you'll be able to find on social media. So you'll be able to find those through the Countship of the ISCSM as well as through the Bozeman Pride page. On that evening as well, we have a dance party that will be 21 plus put on by Ojai that is branded as Y2Gay. This will be running from 7 p.m. until midnight in the Bozeman event space and will be also a ticketed event. And this will just be a night of 2000s nostalgia with some themed cocktails and costume contests and go-go dancers and really just a full-on party. That last event that we have planned is going to be a Notorious B.O.Z. with Last Best Comedy. That will be at 8 p.m. That will also be a ticketed event, and we have Billy McWilliams from Aerotique as the guest comedian for that Notorious B.O.Z. And a little bit on that event, it's a long-form improv, if you will. And so what they do with these events is they bring in well-known members of the community and they're asked questions and they tell comedic stories, for lack of a better term. And we have Billy McWilliams from Aerotique as the guest comedian for that event.
And what time is that?
That is running from 8 to 9:30. So that's kind of wrapping up on our programming for that Saturday. And moving
into Sunday. That's a pretty full day.
Oh my gosh, it's incredibly full. I mean, you look at with physical setup times, we'll be at the Bozeman Public Library probably 9 a.m. in the morning, and we won't be out of our spaces that evening until way much after midnight. So
yeah.
Very full day and lots of really fun stuff for the community to indulge in and lots of moments for us to celebrate our joy and our allyship or just showing up because you wanted to see what the heck was going on. So
then on Sunday, June 2nd.
So moving into Sunday, that first event we have is going to be a Pride Family Meetup put on by Pride House and Queer Bozeman. This will be held from 11:30 to 3 p.m. at the Lindley Park Pavilion. This will be sort of a picnic-style lunch with non-alcoholic beverages, yard games, and really just like a social hour. And really the purpose of this is to help bring families together, whether queer parents, queer children, a combination of the two, whatever it may be, into a community-centered event and find that there are other families and resources that we can help them with and also just to enjoy themselves.
And when you say it's a picnic-style lunch, does that mean people bring their own lunches or?
I do not have that information, if I'm being honest.
Okay, well, to be determined.
To be determined. I'm hoping to put my hopes and dreams into the universe that they do some sort of a barbecue event with volunteers there, doing a full barbecue for everyone attending.
Folks can stay tuned for updates on that. And then the last one that I have on my list is the drag brunch. Tell us about that.
I'll kind of touch back to last year. We found that the drag brunch in 2023 for, it seems everyone in Bozeman loves the idea of brunch and had the most traction out of all of our events. And so we are currently working through all of the venues in Bozeman, Montana to secure a space to have that drag brunch. And so at this point, we are in a to-be-determined space on it, unfortunately.
I see. All right. So more tuning in later for that.
Absolutely. And we'll have updates coming on social media as we get things secured for that specific event.
This is a very ambitious program that you and your colleagues have put together. And is there anything as a final closing that you want to share with our listeners?
I speak for myself as well as the rest of our Pride Planning Committee. We are incredibly excited to be back for a second year. With Pride being almost double the size of last year, we can't wait to share all of the upcoming incredible memories with our community.
Kelton, thank you very much for all this information. I wonder if you would be willing to share with us your thoughts about where the state of queer reality is in Gallatin Valley these days, and particularly as compared to last year. It seems that our whole culture, the entire U.S. culture, is in flux. And on the one hand, people in their rainbow differences are making great strides. And there are also reactionary forces that are trying to suppress the free expression of each person's fullness. Can you share with our listeners your perspective of that?
What I would say is there has been, and especially from a legislative perspective, there's been some incredibly hurtful bills that have been put in place in the state of Montana. Some of them that threaten my First Amendment rights. And what I will say is, as scary as those have been, we have incredible community leaders and incredible people in Montana that have been pushing to alleviate a lot of these bills and alleviate what I would consider an attack on the Montana queer community. So I think what I'm seeing is the queer community and allied communities coming on full force with their chins up and proud to be who they are and saying, we are not doing this again. We are not having our rights threatened again. We are not going back in history again. And if anything, I've seen that in the face of struggle, it's banded our communities together even more and shown us that our voices can be heard and that they are louder and more powerful than we give ourselves credit for.
You mentioned the bills that were passed in this past year. I'm quoting Holly Michaels' headline in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle: "Divided Supreme Court holds transgender athlete bill unconstitutional, along with two others." And we thank the Bozeman Daily Chronicle for their partnership with community radio. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the upcoming election in which the Supreme Court is kind of one of the big tickets, if you have any thoughts on that.
To be completely frank, I do think that our Montana Supreme Court has done an incredible job, historically speaking, to remain neutral. And I think look at a little bit more full picture than what a lot of our legislators are willing to do. And I would say that really through the entire legal system, and I can speak even on some of these bills that haven't gone up to Supreme Court yet, a lot of them have injunctions put on them at this point because they've been challenged, found more than likely unconstitutional, and are being taken to Ninth District Court or continued up through the court system. And so I would say that our Montana court systems have given me a glimmer of hope that our legislators definitely have not.
Well, my understanding of the process, particularly in this last session, was for some of these bills, the legal analysts of the legislature warned the legislatures that they were unconstitutional. They were passed anyway and signed by the governor and then gone through the court system, decided that they were in fact unconstitutional, as the advisors had told the legislators. And the legislators are railing against the court system for declaring them unconstitutional. So politics is a blame game in many ways. But it seems to me that they were duly warned, proceeded anyway, and it's the taxpayers who are footing the bill to go through this process. And taxes are another matter that is really hot button this year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll just leave it at that. But
long-term Montana resident, absolutely a hot button. No, I would absolutely agree with you. I think that our legislators have chosen to attack the queer community at large. And what they've done is they've created bills that are so broad that they have done more than just attack the queer community. They've affected local theaters. They've affected school teachers, bookstores,
libraries.
And that list can continue to go on. They haven't just affected the queer individuals, but their families and their friends and everyone around them. And especially looking at our queer youth in Montana and the suicide rates, quote Zoe Zephyr, it's the blood will be on your hands. It's jarring and disheartening to see that. But like I said, seeing that glimmer of hope that our court systems will abide by the law and will look at these through a critical lens and say, no, this is not constitutional, is, I think, giving us an amount of hope.
Keldon Joyner, final words for our listeners before we say goodbye.
I just want to say thank you so much for having me, for allowing me to share a little bit about Bozeman Pride and some of the queer politics in Montana.
And would you please remind our listeners where they can find out more about the Pride Week, end of May, early June?
You can go ahead and follow us on BZN Pride on Instagram and Facebook, and we will have a website that's live here shortly. So you can follow updates on our social media to get onto that website, too.
Well, Keldon Joyner, thank you so much for all of this organizing that you've been doing and for joining us today on Echo Tones. We very much appreciate it.
Thank you.
You just heard our interview with Keldon Joyner from May 1st. Now, his update recorded on May 17th. Welcome back to Echo Tones, Keldon Joyner.
Thank you for having me, Joy.
Listeners just heard our conversation recorded on May 1st, 2024. But since then, Bozeman Pride has been the target of a couple of malicious incidents. When did they happen and where?
We experienced a total of 3 bomb threats that went out over the course of May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. On May 3rd and 4th, the bomb threats specifically targeted the Countship of the ISCSM's Drag Story Hour, taking place in Steep Mountain Tea. So the story hour itself, Steep Mountain Tea, as well as a building located on Keggy, were targeted in total. The threats that were sent out were actually a national tactic, and so Bozeman, Montana was one of 28 locations across the U.S. that experienced these bomb threats. They were sent through a VPN. I know that we have local as well as national law enforcement working to figure out where the home base of this email is coming from. As it's been bouncing all over the world for these emails, it's come from Nigeria, a few other places within Africa. One of them was sourced from Russia. So in terms of the group and the individual, we don't unfortunately have answers. And on May 5th, the bomb threats actually targeted a few members within our community that have chosen to remain quiet on their identity. But it was their legal names and addresses that were attached to those bomb threats that went out on Sunday, May 5th.
Then on May 14th, you appeared before the Bozeman City Commission asking for their support. I understand that you personally addressed the commission. What exactly were you asking for?
I'd like to round back to how the bomb threats informed our need to be present at the city commission meeting. Absolutely. To quote one of our Pride committee members, his name is Jason Beatty and also the owner of the Gem Gallery, which is in the same building as Steep Mountain Tea and was deeply affected by the events that happened on May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. To quote him, he said, you know, these bomb threats are symptoms of a larger problem that we are experiencing as a queer community in the Gallatin Valley. His statement deeply resonated with me because I do think that's very true. And these bomb threats are just one instance among dozens that our community has experienced in terms of threats over the past year. So in terms of city commission, we had three specific asking points that we had brought into the city commission. Basically, we used these bomb threats as sort of like an informed reason that we need to be a little louder, we need to be a little bit more present. And so those specific asks that we had for the city commission, we requested an action and strategy plan for response to threats directed toward our local and queer communities, including a public debrief with our local officials following a threat. And so basically, within this specific ask, what our community is looking for is proactive planning rather than reactive responses. The next ask that we brought is that we asked for the city to amend the Belonging in Bozeman and Equity and Inclusion Plan to recognize June as Pride Month and also to support an annual Pride celebration as a city priority. And our final ask that we brought the city commission is that we demanded that the city of Bozeman recognizes Pride as a celebration and not a protest. In terms of history, obviously, Pride stems from Stonewall and was inherently a very violent protest. And since then, the point of these all of these incredible Pride celebrations happening throughout the U.S. is to honor those who fought for our well-being, our welcoming, and our identities, and to celebrate that rather than continue to protest it. So we ask that the city recognizes that we are celebrating our identities publicly and openly, not protesting for our identities.
When you say debrief, what do you mean by that?
We'll actually use Pride 2023 as an example. Obviously, there were some incredibly horrific events that ensued during Bozeman Pride 2023. Everything from macing, foul language. We had children that were getting cornered as they were trying to get down to a safer point in Bozeman Pride. And in response, the Countship of the ISCSM sat down with the city of Bozeman to put together a joint statement. And additionally, we had a debrief for a community that was held in a private location. And that debrief was basically for the community to be able to sit down to talk about how they were affected, what affected them, and for our organization to be able to provide local and queer safe resources if necessary to any of those individuals and provide as much information as we had in terms of what we can do and what is being done to rectify the situation. Basically, what we're asking is that the city helps take part in that. This is one of the city of Bozeman's largest events that happens on public property. And I think it's important when our community is affected or attacked or threatened that the response from the city and law enforcement is also very clarified and open to our community.
In the Bozeman Daily Chronicle article from May 15th, 2024, headlined Bozeman LGBTQ plus community ask city commissioners for support, Deputy Mayor Joey Morrison is quoted, and I'll read the quote. Sometimes it feels like there's this impression that bigotry and white supremacy comes from somewhere else, but we know that there's misogyny, there's homophobia, there's transphobia, there's racism and bigotry that's alive and well in this community and in this state. Pretending otherwise, I think, is a disservice to those they target, especially in the context of the bomb threats. Your comments on that?
I had mentioned that those emails were coming through a VPN. So a VPN allows any user to relocate where their emails are originating from. Basically, whoever sent these bomb threats out had purchased a VPN, which allowed them to change their location, digitally speaking. So it looks as if this email is originating from Nigeria or from Russia. And we currently have FBI working on that. And I believe it's FBI throughout the U.S. trying to figure out the original location of these emails, because a VPN essentially allows a user to hide behind different locations. So their true location does not have to be shown.
So it could be that it is somebody in Bozeman.
It very well could be. Seeing indications that these emails went out to a total of 28 locations across the U.S., I am doubtful that the bomb threats that happened in early May originated from somewhere in Montana. But on that note, going back to Joey Morrison's quote, I very deeply agree with what he's saying. And I do think that homophobia, transphobia, bigotry, racism, all of these things are deeply intertwined in portions of our Montana residents. I do think it's alive, and I can speak on some of these White Lives Matter groups. We know for a fact that they've started tagging portions of Bozeman, and that there is a group that has now home-based here in Bozeman, Montana. We are aware that there is hate that is very, very present within the Gallatin Valley.
Listeners who are hearing this might be concerned for their personal safety should they participate in the wonderful programs you have organized for this week of celebrations. What can you share with them to mitigate those concerns?
We have actually moved into a multi-level security force that will be present for all of our public events for Bozeman Pride, and then we do have additional security forces and bouncers that will be present for all of our private events or ticketed events during Bozeman Pride. A little bit on those public events. Saturday, June 1st. That's where we have our multiple block parties. We have our kickoff at the Bozeman Public Library. We have our resource fair on the Emerson Lawn. We have our story hour. And so we've moved into a BPD security force that will be present with multiple officers at all of the locations, as well as a private security task force that will be present with multiple security officers at all of these locations. The other thing that we as a queer community do recognize, and as community organizers, is that not every person is comfortable or feels safe having to report something to a security officer or a police officer. And so what we've additionally done is implemented community safety marshals. And so those will be specific individuals that have volunteered their time to go through a de-escalation and active threat training, and will be visibly marked as community members, but also as community safety marshals, as that additional barrier. I can't give specific numbers at this time, but per event, we'll have over 10 individuals within multiple security task forces present. Additionally, all of the public events that we're having will be canvassed ahead of time, the night before and the day of, to check for any specific security concerns leading up to. I know one of the areas that BPD has identified as a concern is how dark the Bozeman Public Library front lawn can get at night, as it's not well lit. And so they are currently digging into how they can light that a little bit better Friday, May 31st, leading into the event, so they can continue to scan and keep the area safe leading into the event. One of the other things that we've implemented is vehicle barriers that will be present at all of our block parties. And so those barriers are strong enough that if a vehicle tries to hit them, they will not be able to get through them.
Are you satisfied with your interactions with the BPD? That's the Bozeman Police Department.
I'm going to be quite blunt, and that is, we've seen a change in spirit and interaction with Bozeman Police Department, but the experiences of Bozeman Pride 2023 don't allow me to fully entrust in the Bozeman Police Department. And that is a large portion of why we've moved into such a massive undertaking with private security and community safety marshals. What I'd say is, the interactions that we've had recently with BPD have a positive undertone and give me hope, but I need to see that in person and see that actually happen.
Well, that's fair. But on the other hand, last year was the first year, and one learns from experience as individuals and also as organizations. So I'm glad to hear that you are experiencing change for the better this year with the Bozeman Police Department.
I would say so, yes.
Okay, Kelton Joyner, anything else that you want our listeners to know?
I think the one thing that I would like to just reaffirm is that the Bozeman Pride Planning Committee is taking every step necessary to keep our communities safe so people can celebrate openly and publicly through the week of Bozeman Pride.
Kelton Joyner, thank you so much for joining us again on Echo Tones.
Thank you for having me again, Joy.
To find out more, we spoke with Bozeman Police Department Captain Joe Swanson on May 17th. Captain Swanson, thank you for joining us on Echo Tones. Our understanding is that on May 3rd, 4th, and 5th, bomb threats were emailed targeting members of the LGBTQ community who are organizing the 2024 Pride celebration. What can you share with our listeners about that?
You are correct. So those threats were received here locally in the Bozeman area, as well as nationally across the United States. We've been working with our federal partners, specifically within the FBI, who identified this as a bomb hoax. We sent officers to the locations that were identified here in Bozeman. We found that there was no evidence that any type of explosive device had been placed there. And additionally, some of the ongoing investigation has said that all of these threats have lacked credibility. And we are continuing to do what we can to identify the source and partnering with the FBI to provide them any relevant information. Just saying that the businesses and the individuals that were targeted during this had connections to upcoming Pride events. This is a relatively frequent tactic used by certain groups to dissuade people from participating in things such as Pride Week. And so it was a very unfortunate event that this happened, but we did find that the threats and the hoaxes were used to kind of create some chaos and to create some dissension within the groups, but we did not find any evidence that there was an actual explosive device placed anywhere here in Bozeman.
To be clear, emailing a bomb threat is a crime, right? If nothing else, it misuses law enforcement resources.
Correct.
And also, didn't it tie up traffic for citizens?
It certainly did. Absolutely. I mean, just the matter in which that we have to respond to these at times, there's a need to evacuate residences, nearby businesses, shut down roadways. And that was the case here. And all those things were done out of abundance of caution, that there were some indications that these threats as they came in were not credible. However, we're going to treat them seriously and respond to those locations until we can determine otherwise.
Do you have a sense if this was from a local person or persons? Or I understand that there were 20 or so similar threats around the country, more or less at the same time?
Correct. That's the information we have, is these threats were made simultaneously throughout the United States. And the information that we've received so far from our partners who are leading the investigation is that these emails originated from outside the United States.
Citizens who may be considering attending some of the week-long events at the Pride celebration, this may have given them some pause. What can you share with our listeners about the security of the events?
We'll be working very closely with the Pride event organizers to ensure that law enforcement will be available. There'll be a visible presence. Pride also has a very robust system in place in terms of what their staffing will look like and picking appropriate locations. And certainly just having a plan and open communication with the city police department in terms of if we are identifying issues, that we'll be responding to those. And just in checking those areas, as we normally do, they're going to be in busy downtown areas. A number of the events leading up to Saturday's larger event will be mostly at businesses throughout the community that regularly host Pride events. And so just if you see something, say something. And that if people are feeling unsafe or they believe there's a suspicious person, package, vehicle in the area, contact law enforcement. Please give us the specifics so we can investigate.
And what would be the best way to contact law enforcement?
Certainly in the case of an emergency, 911 is the most appropriate way to do that. Here in Gallatin County, you do have the ability to text 911. Or if it's a non-emergency situation, you can use the non-emergency number for the Bozeman Police Department, and that's 406-582-2000. 406-582-2000.
Any other comments for our listeners?
We want to ensure that we have a safe and healthy event for our community, and that encouraging people who are going down there to have a plan. Obviously, parking will probably be an issue. It's going to be a busy Saturday. And there's a number of other events that are happening in town. So patience and cell phone with you. And just, again, a plan and be down there to enjoy yourself. And certainly if there's a need or a cause for law enforcement to get involved, again, if there's suspicious activity or concerns, to please contact us.
Captain Swanson, thank you very much for joining us on Echotones. We very much appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
You just heard interviews with 2024 Bozeman Pride Celebration organizer Keldon Joyner and Bozeman Police Department Captain Joe Swanson. Bozeman Pride Celebration begins on Monday, May 27th and continues through Sunday, June 2nd. This program, Echotones, explores the variety and diversity of the Greater Gallatin Valley community, offering the echoing tones as our communities influence and are influenced by each other, bridging limits and boundaries, and celebrating diversity. Echotones is a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire in Bozeman, Montana.